Yes, I look forward to it, very much indeed. Splendid. Now, I'm very sorry about that. That was somebody that I haven't seen.
I'm going to go to the next one. Like his mother, I think, quietly.
Yes, I suspect that it's probably a little bit more.
I said my eyes were getting lost. I'm going to I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm not sure if I'm going to try my Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that was in course exceptional kind of permission to walk till 10.
Really? No, I didn't know that.
It was impossible just to get there. But what I did, I just stayed inside the laboratory, I bought myself a flashlight, and I walked one night through the morning until it stopped. I never told it to anybody, you know. I carried around big cylinders with gas and inside into darkness and flashlights. Why not? I mean,
this was when you were working at low temperature.
Yeah, low temperature and neutron.
Neutron.
But then I brought this, not instead of low temperature.
And does it pass out of the? I'm sorry. I mean, is that right? And
I did.
What
with
the vibrational energy?
And
yes.
I had the results. It was all. And I talked to Hund. He said, "So what? So what? You know." Because it was logical that it would work.
Mm.
So since he said so far, so I said I never promised it.
J.J. Thompson.
J.J. Thompson.
His experience, and the discovery of the electron was what, about 1913 or something?
Well, it was early.
But it was earlier than that. It was before the First World War, certainly.
Yeah. And then Leonard, Leonard...
He got it out into
the
name
air,
and reputation.
Into the air through a little aluminum window. Then he did a lot of very basic things. He determined that the stranding of the electrons in air or in any matter was proportional to the density.
Mm-hmm.
That was before we knew how the atom felt. So it was a very important contribution to that. That was
not... Yes, because this really is the prehistory of physics. Look back at now, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing, there's two things I wanted to ask you. Oh, yes. Have you ever come across somebody called Heinz Post? Heinz Post. Or Post, I would say. Heinz Post.
No, I don't know.
He's Austrian. I think his early work was all in Vienna, before the Second World War, the University of Vienna. I know nothing about his career in theoretical physics. Well, he is now the professor of the history of philosophy of science at Chelsea College, the University of London. And most of the people in that department are, in fact, sort of ex-mathematicians, myself. He is the only, I understand from his colleagues, that he had a fairly distinguished career in physics in Austria before the war. He's extremely he's actually half Hungarian, half Austrian, and the Hungarian half tends to predominate. He argues, I think, more absolutely magnificent. One gets to realise what a sort of Pauli seminar must have been like. He ruthlessly browbeats all opposition into the ground. Yeah. As I gave a paper there about a year ago it was purely a logic paper, really, purely. A logic paper. Now, Heinz knows nothing about logic. I'm sorry, but he doesn't. Extremely good physicist. His knowledge of history of his subject and his knowledge of physics is profound.